Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
With the third pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
With the 37th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, my New England Patriots select Jalen Polk, receiver, Washington.
Wow.
With the 68th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft,
the New England Patriots select
Caden Wallace.
He is a tackle out of Penn State.
Okay, Nico. There you go. Back here on WEEI, second hour of the day two draft late night party. I'm your host, John Lyons. We do have Nico producing, as I mentioned. Nico, I'm a draft sicko here, college football guy, NFL football, all sicko. So, of course, what did I do during the break? I was just watching Caden Wallace just maul defensive ends. So,
I mean, pretty entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
I think I saw something, I don't know if this is the exact numbers, but he had like 32 snaps against Aiden Hutchinson and another top D-line.
31 snaps and zero pressures allowed, yes, among the two. Yeah, pretty darn impressive. And look, we just spent the last segment talking about Jalen Polk. I do have a couple things I want to follow up when it comes to Jalen Polk. We are going to be joined by John Serenides of the New England Football Journal at 11:20. I'm looking forward to that. As round three is almost done, Eagles are just picking here at pick 94 in the third round. So we're almost done with round three. If the Patriots happen to trade up to this very end of the third round and they do anything, because they are scheduled to pick early in round four, we'll obviously break that down as it happens. But Caden Wallace, to me, I mentioned this before the break, this is a really interesting pick to me. This is a dude at Penn State, and I feel like, by the way, Nico, so I'm researching this guy, like three or four different websites gave me like four different measurables for him. Like ESPN had one, NFL.com had one, PFF had one. Like PFF had him at like 340 pounds. I'm like, I don't think he's that big. So he's like, he's 6'4", 315-ish. Okay, that's what we're going to, some have him 314. I've seen 317. I'm just going to call him 315-ish. I'm going to start doing that with my weight. I'm going to take 10 pounds off. Say, yeah, I'm the-ish. Yeah. But Caden Wallace, he played 2,290 snaps. So that's just 2,290 snaps at Penn State over the course of 4 years. 40 starts at Penn State, all of them at right tackle. Now, the Patriots just traded, The Patriots just re-signed Mike Onwenu to a major extension as their right tackle. And I love Mike Onwenu. He's one of my favorite players on the team. They have Sidi Sow at right guard, who towards the end of last year really came on and I thought played really well. David Andrews, maybe his last year, maybe he's got a couple years left, but he's a good starter at center. Caden Wallace isn't going to play there anyway. There are questions about Cole Strange at left guard. And then, of course, you have the uncertainty at left tackle. Trent Brown leaves. You have Okorafor, who I would love to just be your swing tackle. So Caden Wallace enters the picture here. I think they must view him as a long-term left tackle. Now, he did get some left tackle work at the Shrine Bowl, and when he met with the media, he did say that he feels comfortable, you know, moving over to left tackle in the NFL, which is great. You know, you can feel comfortable doing it, but you got to. There's a difference between feeling comfortable and really being good at it. And I'm not trying to poo-poo what he said, but it's just it is a big adjustment going from left, you know, right tackle to left tackle and vice versa. So I think what we're going to see is Okorafor is going to start the year as the Patriots' left tackle, unless something happens in camp. If Caden Wallace comes out and he's great in camp, much like Mike Onwenu in 2020 was at right tackle, if he comes out and he's great in camp at left tackle and he wins the job, good. Good for him. Give it to him. But I think you're going to see Okorafor start the year at least at left tackle. And then once Wallace gets to a point where he is comfortable, he feels good about playing left tackle, then I think you're going to see Wallace take over at left tackle. But it was a head scratch for me. But I mean, Nico, I know Nico, you were producing the Red Sox tonight in addition to watching the draft because you are, you know, nobody's ever seen Nico and Batman in the same place. So we'll just leave it at that. But I just wonder, the tackle draft to me over these couple days kind of went a little nuts. Like Delmar Glaze got picked today. I thought he was going to go in like the sixth round, maybe the seventh. There was a real run on tackles. And I wonder, Nico, if the Patriots looked at it as, yeah, we might need to develop Caden Wallace at left tackle a little bit, but we believe he can do it, and we got to take him now because if not, we're going to be stuck with someone we don't like later in the draft.
I think it was just about acquiring the best tackle. I think you're right on that. And they think that there's a chance that he's athletic enough to move him to left tackle. They wanted to get the best available tackle. I think that's what they did. What was it, pick 94? Or no, we're at
68.
94. 68.
Yeah, we're at 94.
They got the best available tackle.
No, see, the Patriots are good. They used to have pick 94.
Yeah.
So you're a little confused. And I understand the confusion. So that brings me to my next point here. So you draft Drake May last night. You take Jalen Polk tonight. And you take Caden Wallace. All three of them, to me, Nico, are guys that I look at them like they're all going to be pieces of the offense this year. But I really look at them about being wow, you know what, Nico? This is welcome to the radio, John. Unreal. So I look at all three of them, though, as being major contributors in 2025. Why do I say that? Like Drake May, to me, I think if he wins a job in August, great. Otherwise, I think he should sit till Halloween. Halloween and Christmas, those are the two holidays to watch. If he's ready after eight games, play him. Bang. If not, wait till Christmas. Then maybe give him a start or two at the end of the year, unless, of course, you're in the thick of the playoff hunt. So I think May, again, more of a 2025 impact. And even if he plays this year, he's still going to be a rookie. There'll be some growing pains. Jalen Polk, I think, is going to play a lot this year, and I think he's going to be pretty good. But I think long-term, in a great offense, which we know the Patriots are far from right now, but in a long-term great offense that the Patriots are trying to build, he's probably your wide receiver too. And that's why, again, the fact that he played 59 snaps out wide, 41% in the slot. He's got the size and contested catchability to play X, but he can play some Z if he refines some of his route running as well. That gives the Patriots some options about who they bring in as their true franchise wide receiver one in the next year or so. If there's a guy at Z they like, then they can keep Polk at X. If there's a guy at X they like, they can move Polk over to Z. So again, Polk's going to have an impact, but I think he's going to have a bigger impact in 2025 when they have another legit number one to pair with him as maybe a number two. And then Caden Wallace, I kind of view in the same way. Like, Caden Wallace is going to play this year. But I look at 2025 as the year where he might come into training camp as your starting left tackle and hopefully by then be pretty good. And, of course, Nico, it's draft night, so we think all these guys are going to be good. But, you know, there's a chance they're going to pick, seven, eight players in this draft, and three or four might be good. Well, hopefully it's these three, but maybe Caden Wallace disappoints. Maybe Jalen Polk doesn't get it. You know, God forbid Drake May. But I think that's why, to me, like, I look at these guys fitting together and growing together and all being on the field in 2024, making an impact in 2024, but 2025 is really the year that they make the big impact. And I know a lot of Patriots fans don't want to hear that. I'm a Patriots fan. I don't like saying it. So if you want to, you know, call up Theo Epstein at the Red Sox and have him say it's a bridge year, And Nico, if you remember, didn't go well for Theo when he said that. But it might be a bit of a bridge year. Like, they're going to win more than four games, okay? They're going to win seven. Maybe if things break right and May's really good, they can win eight. But they're going to be one of those teams that six, seven wins, maybe if they get lucky, eight. And then the year after is going to be the year where they're really challenging to go deeper in the playoffs. Hopefully, that's the goal. Which is why, again, I think these three guys fitting together all can have an impact in 2024, but I think a bigger impact in 2025. And that's when you shift the focus to tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, I think the Patriots can get creative because you've addressed quarterback, you've addressed receiver, specifically X with Polk. I think he can play there. And you've addressed tackle, albeit not a true left tackle, a guy who's going to have to convert, but you've addressed tackle in Caden Wallace. So now you got some options, and you got a couple picks, you know, higher in the fourth round. Do you bolster receiver again? Do you add another? There's been this run on tackles. They're going to be pretty much gone. Do you try to add one more tackle? Or do you say, hey, we need a corner with length. Hey, maybe we want to stand up linebacker because Jelani Tavai and Juwan Bentley are nearing the end of their contracts. Maybe we want a big run-stuffing defensive tackle to go with Christian Barmore. Maybe we want a running back because the pairing of Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson, how long is that going to last? And again, I like both those players. I'm just talking contract situations. Do we want to add a tight end to go with Hunter Henry? I mean, I think Hunter Henry is a really good player, but I thought Farrell Brown was great last year, and he's gone as a compliment to Henry. Now you have Henry. Austin Hooper is okay. But I want some youth there at tight end, too. So that's why, to me, this fourth round is really interesting and how it complements these three guys. Because, again, I talked about how May and Polk and Wallace, their timelines seem to fit. And May and Polk especially, it feels like their games kind of fit together. Like, May can throw on the sidelines pretty well outside the numbers. And Polk's a really good contested catch guy. So I'm really interested tomorrow to see what are they thinking. I bet you tomorrow in one of their first two picks in the fourth round, they go defense. Probably a corner with length, but they could go edge because even edge, right? You have Anfernee Jennings, who I love. I mean, you want something to enjoy this year, Patriots fans? Watch him set the edge in the run game. It's awesome. But you have Anfernee Jennings, but Josh Uche's on a one-year deal. Matthew Judon's coming off an injury on the wrong side of 30. How long are those two guys going to be there? So you could use an edge player. And, of course, you have Keon White, who I think can play some tackle and some defensive end, so you can move him around. But point being, I think they can get pretty creative when it comes to what they want to do, especially with these first couple picks they have tomorrow. So I like the fit with May and with Polk and with Wallace, especially May and Polk. But I like the fit not just based on how they're going to potentially fit in Alex Van Pelt's offense. I like the timeline fit, too. And another piece of this, like I mentioned that, you know, these guys are going to have some impact in 2024 and a much greater impact in 2025, in my opinion. You also notice Hunter Henry, multi-year deal, right? He's going to be there for 2025. Same thing with Mike Onwenu. Same thing for Sidy Sow, right? Same thing for DeMario Douglas. So I think the vision, to me, is for all these guys to grow together. Now, of course, we'll see if they're all good enough. But I think that's the vision, is for all of them to grow together. And I think so far, in his first draft, I'm liking what Elliott Wolf has done. I mean, we'll see if it pans out. We won't really know for 2 or 3 years, even though on Monday everyone's going to give a draft grade. Yeah, they got an A+. But we'll see. But I like it so far. And what I'm really excited about, what I really am going to enjoy, we're going to talk with John Serenides of the New England Football Journal coming up next. But first, it's time to try.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, I'm your host, John Lyons. It's our late night day two draft party. And I'm really excited right now to talk to someone that I consider to be not just a football expert, but specifically a draft expert. That's John Serenides of the New England Football Journal. You can find him on Twitter. You can find him on social media. You can also find his site, nefootballjournal.com. John, welcome into the program. Thanks for taking the time.
John, thanks for having me, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to talk football with you, John. And I want to start...
I got you.
Thanks. I want to start with Drake May. The Patriots select him at third overall. Looks to be, you know, in their eyes, the future of the franchise at quarterback. What are your thoughts on Drake May, the pick, and the fit here in New England?
I love the pick. You know, one of the things I've said for the last few weeks is that this draft was going to tell us if this organization is really, truly going in a new direction. If this is a new era of Patriots football, the way they draft was going to be a telltale sign that things have changed. I love the fact that they ended up with the number three pick, they stuck with the pick, and they took the best available player, the best quarterback, in my opinion, in this class. I know that that might be a little bit of a controversial statement, but I think he has the most upside of all the quarterbacks that went in the first round, all six of them. Now, I don't think he can play right away, John, and you and I have talked about this. I don't think he can play right away, but when you talk about talent, arm talent, when you talk about measurables, when you talk about the ability to make plays in and out of the pocket, he checks off all the boxes. He's not going to be the off-script, off-platform player that a Caleb Williams is going to be, or even a Jaden Daniels to a certain degree. But when you talk about upside, John, I think at this stage of his development, he has more upside long-term than Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I think Caleb Williams is just about at his max. He's either going to walk into the NFL and end up a top five quarterback in the next year or two, or he's probably not going to live up to the hype. Jaden Daniels, I still think, has a little bit of a ceiling left, but Drake May has the most upside of any quarterback in this class. I think if the Patriots develop him the right way, they bring him along slowly, and I think based on what Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo told us last night, that is their plan. I think if they slow play this with them, they let him develop, I think they have a potential franchise quarterback in their building. And I think he's a guy, John, that, I mean, look, if he gets to maximize his potential, we're talking about, at worst, a top 12 quarterback in this league.
So you mentioned he could get to a top 12 quarterback if he maximizes his potential. What do you think he needs to really work on? Like, is there one thing that stands out for him to reach that potential he needs to improve? Is there more than one thing? What do you think he should be working on as he develops?
A lot of people are making a lot about his footwork, and rightfully so, but I've coached quarterbacks for years. You can fix footwork. The big thing for me is pocket management. He's frenetic in the pocket. He comes off his reads as soon as he gets any kind of pressure. He's going to need to learn how to better manage the pocket. He's going to need to be willing to stick to his progression and move his eyes from his first read to his second read to either his third read or his hot or his check. He's going to need to be willing to take one in the chops. That's easier said than done. But he's got to be willing to get hit. I think that that's going to help him develop in terms of pocket management. Now, where the footwork comes in is if he improves his footwork, I think it is going to help him better manage the pocket. So it's going to be a gradual process here to get him where he needs to go. The arm talent is there. I think he needs to play with a little bit better anticipation. But if you can work, if you can improve that footwork and you can get him to learn to play from within the pocket better and not be so frenetic and play calmer, then I think everything else will fall into place. Because outside of that, I think the vertical accuracy is there. I think his anticipation for the most part is pretty good, especially inside the hashes. I really think with this kid, it's slowing the game down for him, fixing his footwork, and getting him to learn how to play from the pocket at a higher level.
And, John, just to try to project out here, how long do you think that would take? I mean, do you think he's going to have to sit half a season, a full season, something in between? Like, how long do you think those things will take?
Look, if I had my druthers, he doesn't play in 2024. I know a lot of Patriot fans probably don't want to hear that. And no, I'm not punting on the 2024 season. But if you want to do it right and you want to put this kid in a position to succeed long term, I don't think he plays for you this year. The only way he should see the field this year is as if something were to happen to Brissett, Zappy comes.
We got him, Nico? Did we lose John? Oh, okay. No, we got you back. All right. Go ahead, John. We just lost you for a second.
Okay, but for me, I don't think he should play this year. Look, he's 21 years old. You can afford to redshirt him. Plus, you've got the fifth-year option. So if you decide not to play him this season, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's going to be to his benefit. It's going to help him develop. Now, Mayo, would not. I asked him about that. I asked him about their timetable with him. And he wouldn't commit to a timetable. He did say, however, last night that the best players will play. So I do think he left the door open a little bit that he could potentially play this year. But I think if they want to do it right, John, he shouldn't play at all, or at the very least, he shouldn't play the first 8 or 9 weeks. You got to give this kid a chance to develop and work on the things he needs to fix and learn how to play at the speed of the game in the NFL. It's going to be a lot different for all these guys, but more so for him because he does need to fix some things in the pocket.
We're talking with John Serenides of the New England Football Journal. Moving to day two, John, the Patriots start out with the 34th overall pick. They trade down to 37 and select Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington. What did you make of the trade down, and what are your thoughts on Polk?
Well, you and I nailed that trade on our final mock draft the other night, so kudos to us. But, you know, look, I love Jalen Polk, and I thought Jalen Polk would have been a potential target for them in the third round. I had him and Roman Wilson among the guys that I thought they could target at receiver in the third round. Obviously, they liked him more than I did because they took him 37th overall. Jalen Polk, you talk to any of those guys on the staff at Washington when Kalen DeBoer was there, they loved the kid. They raved about his work ethic. I talked to his former position coach, who told me that all three of those guys, him, Roma Dunze, Jalen McMillan, had tremendous work ethics. But Jalen Polk, he singled out as being a guy who had that extra level of commitment. He was willing to work as long as it took to be as good as he can be. So I think from that standpoint, he's a terrific fit. Now, in terms of a player on the field, terrific route runner, I think he is the best receiver in this draft at tracking the football on slot fades, fade balls, back shoulder fades. I think he has terrific timing and anticipation when it comes to tracking the ball over his shoulder. The other thing that I like about him is I love his route running ability. He's not necessarily a guy who has the sharpest breaks, John, but he is a crafty route runner who knows how to get corners in and out of their back pedal, and he knows how to get them to detach from his hip. He is a guy that can get himself open. He's also a guy that offers formation versatility in that you can line him up at the X, which is on the line as a split end. You can play him as an F, which is in the slot. You can play him as a Z, which is the flanker. He can line up anywhere in a formation and be effective. He's also very good at getting off the ball. He manufactures clean releases. So I like this kid. I think when you project from a number standpoint, what could he give you at the top of his game? I think you're looking at a guy that's probably an 800 to 1,000-yard, 1,100-yard receiver, 6 to 8 touchdowns. He's a worker. He's a dog. He's fundamentally sound. And, again, he's not a burner. He's not going to take the top off of coverage. But he does a lot of things right, and he checks a lot of boxes at the position.
You mentioned that Polk, you know, he can line up at X, he can line up in the slot, can go to Z. Do you think the Patriots will use him like that, or do you think they're going to stick him at X at least to start with, you know, due to the fact that they have DeMario Douglas, they have Kendrick Bourne, they have some of these other pieces, or do you think they're going to move him around?
Well, I think that's a great question, John. I mean, look, based on when you look at the composition of their current receiving core, he's probably going to play a fair amount of snaps at X, but I think they're going to move him around because he's that type of piece. If you go back and look at the way that they used him in their offense at Washington, Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator there, who's now the Seahawks offensive coordinator, he did a great job with all three of those guys moving him around and creating matchups based on alignment. I think the Patriots are going to do a lot of that with him. The thing with Jalen Polk is when you watch the X receiver in this version of the West Coast offense, go back to last year in Cleveland. Amari Cooper had that ridiculous stretch where he had that monster game against the Texans. The X receiver is a focal point in the West Coast offense, specifically this version of it. I think they're going to rep him at the X. I think they're going to give him every opportunity. He is 6'1", 203. They're going to give him every opportunity to be that guy, and they're going to give him every opportunity to win one-on-one because, like I said, he's really good at tracking the ball on fades and back shoulder fades and whatnot. They're going to give him every opportunity to be that guy, but I also think they're going to move him around because he is a guy that you can generate matchups with depending on how they choose to defend him.
And in the third round, the Patriots picked Caden Wallace. He had 40 starts at Penn State, all at right tackle. This comes on the heels of them re-signing Mike Onwenu at right tackle. It's a two-part question here for you, John. What do you make of Caden Wallace, the prospect, and where do you think he's going to fit on the Patriots' offensive line?
Well, look, we had Jalen Polk as the number 9 prospect in our top 50 Patriots prospects to watch. Caden Wallace was at 26. Caden Wallace, for me, is a guy that was one of the cleanest prospects that they had met with and that they had identified as someone they're interested in. You mentioned the 40 starts, John. You go back and watch his tape. 1 sack during that time. This is a guy playing right tackle. Now, he's 6'4", 7'8", 315 pounds. He's got terrific feet. He's natural in his kick set. He's got long arms, which is huge in this day and age when you're playing against a lot of guys that are 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", as edge rushers that are natural benders. You need guys with long arms and good feet. He brings that to the table. He can play right tackle. He has played some guard. I think he can play left tackle, and I think long-term, John, he could be their left tackle. I know that there's some members of the media tonight that have scoffed at that notion. You can scoff at it all you want. The bottom line is, when you look at his build and you look at how good he is in pass protection, don't get fooled into thinking just because he's primarily a right tackle, he can't make the move over. Let's not forget, the guy playing opposite him was Olafoshnu, who went number 11 overall to the Jets last night. So he was playing with a guy that was just as good, if not better than him. I think this kid could eventually transition to left tackle. What I think they're going to do with him is I think they're going to cross-train him, which you're seeing a lot in the NFL today. He's going to be able to play both tackle spots. They'll even rep him inside a little bit in camp. But I think ultimately, and Elliott Wolf backed up what I was saying tonight when he met with the media, they think he can play left tackle. I think that's where he could end up long term.
And looking ahead to tomorrow, John, on day 3, and we're talking with John Serenides of the New England Football Journal, I think the Patriots are in a really interesting spot for tomorrow. They have 2 of the first 10 picks tomorrow thanks to that trade with the Chargers. Look, they've addressed quarterback, they've addressed receiver, they've addressed offensive tackle. Where do you think they go tomorrow, and in the 4th round and in later? What are your expectations?
Well, I think tomorrow, I still think they're a cornerback short. I'd like to see them draft a corner at some point tomorrow. I also would like to see them add a running back. Remember, Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, they come off your books next year. So you're going to need a third running back that you can bring in that could potentially not only develop this year, but possibly get some touches as well. They've got a couple backs that they really like, Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. They talked to Ray Davis out of Kentucky, Dylan Lobby out of UNH. Those guys are all still on the board. Those are guys to keep an eye on for tomorrow if they decide to go running back. Edge is another position. You know, again, you look at they bring back Uche in a one-year deal. They re-sign Anthony Jennings. But let's not forget, Matthew Judon is scheduled to come off your books after next year. So I think it's one of those things where they could go defense tomorrow and address some of those positions. I think tight end, you and I have talked about this as well, tight end is another position where I think that you're going to have a lot of value in the fourth and fifth round. It's a position that they can address. You got Theo Johnson, Jared Wiley, amongst other guys there. So we saw some tight ends go tonight, but I think that those are some of the positions that they could address tomorrow. They have the five picks to do it. It's only a matter of what do they want to do? Do they want to continue to focus on the offense? I wouldn't mind adding another offensive lineman, maybe late, someone like Glover from Georgia State, but they have got to address some of these other positions, specifically cornerback and running back. They're more of a need than people think.
And for those that don't know, the New England Football Journal does a great job covering local high school and college football all across New England. We've seen multiple New England players get selected tonight. Mike Sanderstrill from Everett, Mass. got selected. Zach Zinter from BBNN also got selected. Do you have any thoughts on those guys as well as any of the other local prospects in this draft?
It was a great night, specifically in the third round for New England football tonight, John. Starting with the two guys you mentioned, Everett's own Mike Sanderstrill. Look, I covered Mike in high school, one of the best athletes I've ever seen play the game of football live. Terrific athlete, terrific young man. The Commanders take him 50th overall. They got themselves one hell of a football player. If he stays healthy, he's going to be one of the best slot corners in the game. That's not hyperbole. That's fact. Zach Zinter would have been a top 50, maybe top 60 pick if he doesn't break his leg against Ohio State. He's an absolute dog. Mike Willie coached him over at BBNN. He and his staff did a great job with Zach. Zach, of course, started his career at St. John's Prep, transferred over to BBNN, had a great career at Michigan. You know, I was talking to someone on their staff tonight, a good buddy of mine. They're fired up about him that they got him in the third round. They're excited to get him there, and I think that that's a great landing spot for Zach. As far as other New England prospects, Karam Adejani from Yale goes to the Chicago Bears. Great fit there. I think he could potentially develop into a right tackle for them there. Christian Haynes was the number one player on our top 50 New England prospects board, goes to the Seattle Seahawks at pick 81. Look, Christian Haynes is one of the best football players I've covered in the last 10 years around here. He's nasty. He's athletic. He's fundamentally sound. I think the Seahawks got a great player in the third round in Haynes. And then, of course, you had Elijah Jones, cornerback from BC. He goes in the third round at pick 90 to the Arizona Cardinals. Long, athletic, plays with good instinct, led the ACC with five picks last year. So it was a really good night for New England football, and I think we're going to have a lot of other New England names going tomorrow, John. I think you're going to hear a bunch of names called, and I also think you're going to have a bunch of guys that are going to sign as undrafted free agents.
We spent most of this segment, John, talking about the Patriots as well as New England football. Were there any, you know, pick or two outside of the Patriots that really stood out to you in the first couple days of the draft?
Well, I mean, obviously, you gotta love, if you're a Bears fan, what Chicago's done. Obviously, we knew they were going to draft Williams. Getting Rome Odunze at 9 is huge. What the Minnesota Vikings did, they were aggressive. They got their man in J.J. McCarthy, then traded back up and got Dallas Turner. I thought they did a terrific job. I think when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, man, the Kansas City Chiefs end up with Xavier Worthy, the fastest receiver in this draft. They could pair him up now with Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, assuming he doesn't end up having legal troubles. And then in the second round, you end up getting your potential left tackle of the future in Kingsley Suamatua. So I think, though, when you look at those teams, the teams that draft well consistently have drafted well once again. Colts, Ravens, they have drafted well. I think the Steelers have done a good job of bolstering their offensive line. They had Roman Wilson in the third round. You know, I think Green Bay have had some obvious needs. I know a lot of people thought that they might have reached a little bit on Jordan Morgan. I think that's a terrific pick. He's a typical Packers offensive lineman, guy that they can cross-train to play guard and tackle. They've had a good night, too. So, you know, I think there's a lot of teams that really help themselves. But, as you know, John, tomorrow is the day that helps a lot of organizations. A lot of great franchises have been built on the backbone of day three of this draft. And I think you're going to see a lot of quality players that are still on the board find homes tomorrow, and they're going to help the teams that they end up on.
He is John Serenides of the New England Football Journal. You can find him on social media. You can also find him at anyfootballjournal.com. They cover the Patriots. They cover local high school and local college football. They do a great job with it. John, really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your insight.
John, appreciate the time as always, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Yeah, you had a lot of good stuff there. For us, and I'd like to shout out to some of the local prospects. And he feels Caden Wallace can play left tackle. And for those that don't know John Serenides, he knows offensive line play really well. So if he believes Caden Wallace can play left tackle, that goes a long way with me. So, and that's something, again, like we talked about, that timeline, everything matching up, and we'll see how it, you know, meshes going forward. I think, but again, if Caden Wallace can play left tackle, Polk can play X. They might be onto some, but it all is going to come down to Drake May. We are already, Nico, heading into our last segment of the night. Been a bit of a marathon for me this week with these late nights, but our last segment of the late night day two draft party coming right up after this break.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Talent and Andre Green and Gavin Blackwell. But I think they're waiting to see as well.
So another third down for May. They said he can run, and Drake May. Big game for the redshirt freshman quarterback. Bowler knocks him out in a gain of 42. Everyone knew Sam Howell's a runner, but they said don't sleep on Drake May's ability to run.
I'm really impressed with the elusiveness of Drake May in the open field.
Sam didn't do well either, but he was a heck of a player here. May, the play fake to the end zone. Touchdown, Tar Heels. Kamari Morales puts the Tar Heels on the board first. A May 42-yard run sends up the big play and the touchdown for the Tar Heels.
Gonna let this one play, Nico. We'll be a music station for a few minutes. Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Final segment of the day two late night draft party. I've had a lot of late night shows this week, Nico. Had Monday night Bruins post game, of course they lost. Then Wednesday night I had Bruins and Celtics post game, of course the Celtics lost. So technically I've done two nights of post games and I'm 1-2. In those games. So we got a late night tonight. I'll be back on Celtics.
God, bump those numbers up.
I know. I'll be back on Celtics post game Monday and Wednesday, and hopefully that'll be the end of the series. On Wednesday, they can win in five. And if the Bruins series goes six, I will be Bruins game six post game next Thursday. So Joe Weil, I think, will be game two Bruins post. Game two. On Tuesday, he will have Bruins post game for game five. So that's the plan for me right now. But tonight, we had our late-night draft party, and he got a good time. John Serenides of the New England Football Journal, great segment with him. Always learn a lot when you talk about football with him. And we've been talking, Nico, all night, the fit of Drake May, the fit of Jalen Polk, the fit of Caden Wallace, and not just who they are as prospects, how they fit together, and how they fit in this Patriots offense. By the way, the first time since 2006, the Patriots' first three draft picks were offensive players. And hopefully, if you go back and look at those three guys from 06, hopefully these three guys work out better than those three guys. Not so hot in 06. But I think these guys, again, that's a piece of this, right? Not just how these guys are as prospects, but how they fit together. And Nico, remind me, you were a proponent of sitting Drake May?
Yes, I think he needs to sit minimum half the season. I would say him the full season if he's not ready. The Patriots cannot afford to screw this kid up. You got to give him the time to develop. Out all the quarterbacks in the draft that were going projected first-round picks, this guy needed the most time to develop. You did not get a plug-and-play guy with Drake May. That's not a bad thing. You just have to accept that and you can't rush the development here.
Yeah, and I think there's two holidays you have to look at, two dates this season for Drake May. Halloween and Christmas. Because I think he's going to sit early on. Now, look, if he comes in minicamp and then in training camp in August and he's by far the best quarterback or head and shoulders above Brissett in Zappi, fine, play him. Start him week one, no doubt about it. But if he's not, he could use some time developing, work on going through his progressions, work on his footwork. So give him till Halloween, 8 weeks. And if he's ready, great, start him at Halloween. If he's not, wait till Christmas. Because I still would like, either way, I want Drake May to have a start or two under his belt next season. So if you wait till Christmas and he starts the last week or two of the year, unless, of course, you're in a playoff race with Brissett, then just go for the playoffs. But I would like him to get one or two starts at least next year. And who knows? He might start 8 games. He might start 17 games. I think he would benefit from resting, and I'm looking at Halloween. I'm looking at Christmas. But May, again, I think May is a good fit for what they want to do. If you want to know what Drake May can bring to the Patriots, go watch his game against Pitt. I know, not a good Pitt team. I get it. Watch his game against Pitt, final 3 minutes of the first half. 98-yard touchdown drive, multiple big throws, including a 29-yarder over the middle to Nate McCollum. Really nice throw in the pocket. Took multiple big hits in that game, including one to the head that he had to come out briefly for. Multiple big hits in that game, and he stood up. He took all of them. So that, you know, watch that Pitt game. That's what he can bring to New England. And I understand some of the concerns there. We are talking about a guy. He took 40 sacks 2 years ago, 29 sacks this past year. He did not have a good offensive line around him. His receivers 2 years ago, pretty good. Last year, not so much. I mean, they weren't terrible, but not the same level as some of, like, Jaden Daniels had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, like, two first-round picks. Like, Drake May didn't have that this year. So, again, I'd like to give him 8 weeks to develop this season, maybe more. We'll check in at Halloween. And who knows? Maybe he'll be playing before that. Jalen Polk, I like a lot. I think he can play X and Z. And then Caden Wallace, I think he's going to move from right tackle to left tackle. But that pretty much wraps it up for us here on the Late Night Draft Party. Thank you, Nico. Great job tonight. I'm John Lyons. I'll be back on Sunday afternoon with KJ. Talk to you then.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.